For the last time, I will be introducing myself as your interim minister. We're very excited. June the 1st will be here soon, and it'll be great to welcome Rich and Carolyn here in their new role, leading here alongside the elders and the staff. And this has just been a wonderful experience for Marcia and me. We have been privileged and blessed to be a part of your congregation these last 5 months. And so we are, I knew this day would come. You don't do interim ministry without realizing. In fact, you don't do anything in life without realizing that eventually the last day is going to come. Earlier in life, I didn't think a lot about that until the last day. But lately, maybe it's because of where I'm at in my own life experience right now that I think more about the end when I start things. And we're very excited, Marcia and I are, as we end here and as a new beginning is about to start. We're grateful for the elders here at Kingsway Christian Church. What a privilege it's been to work alongside them. I have told them, and I hope you've heard me say it here, I think I've said it publicly too, what a great group of leaders you have here. And as a person who gets around a little bit to other churches in the region anyway, this immediate area, I know that this is a great, solid, healthy congregation, and we're grateful for that. I'm thankful for the staff. It's been my privilege to work alongside them and be a part of their lives these last several weeks together. And of course, Marcia and I have looked forward to these Sunday morning gatherings and anticipate that this last one as your interim minister will be, what we have to share from God's word will be worthwhile and helpful as it has been these last several weeks. This morning I'd like to focus on a few final instructions for you, our brothers and sisters in Christ. These thoughts that I share with you today are not original with me. That doesn't mean I got this sermon off the internet. But I owe the Holy Spirit and the Apostle Paul the credit for the way he wraps up his letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians, where he gives some great principles, I think, for how we ought to function as Christians and as a congregation in the world. In fact, as we go through these four principles today, I really believe this. If you aspire to these four things, I really believe your future will be bright together here as a congregation. On the other hand, if you ignore these things that we're talking about today, well, let's just say you do not want to ignore these things that I'll be talking about today. So we're going to spend time in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's interesting, the verse prior to where we're going to be studying is the last verse in the glorious chapter that Paul wrote on the resurrection of Jesus and our resurrection. And he concludes that chapter by saying something like this: give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, for you who labor in the Lord do not labor in vain. Now, I think it's important for us to remember as we look at the Bible text that things like chapters and verses were added much later to the text that we read. That what Paul is talking about is the most glorious and I think the core theological principle of the Christian faith, that because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, then we as folks living in this world who all have our appointment with death can know that on the other side is one who has made possible for us victory over death itself. That's an awesome thing. And then the next words are these principles that we're going to be talking about today. In light of Jesus' resurrection, in light of the hope that is within us as believers of our own eternal life, Paul says, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. And here's how you do it. Four things. Here's the first one. Be generous. We've already heard about that. Paul talks about being generous in verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians 16. He's talking about the offering. He's talking about the collection specifically. He says, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Paul's talking about what I think is the first principle of giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord. That is to live generously. I want you to notice three things that ought to mark our generosity. First of all, our generosity ought to be planned or intentional on the first day, he says, of every week. Secondly, it ought to be personal. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money. Thirdly, it ought to be proportional in keeping with your income, Paul says. But I think it's important for us to remember that in addition to talking about our treasure, our finances, that this idea of generosity ought to apply to every other area of our lives as well, referring, of course, to our time and the abilities that he has entrusted to us. And, of course, what a wonderfully powerful thing it is when all of these resources that God has entrusted to us are harnessed together in unity as a local church. The impact in a neighborhood, a community, is an incredibly powerful thing. I noticed I was out in the foyer, lobby, whatever we call the entryway. That sounds like a good place to call it, the entryway. There's a table there, and I noticed the Vacation Bible School signups are coming in terms of volunteers. I am so grateful. There's still a few slots available. There's part of me that would love to be here that week, you know, to sneak back in and just watch what God does through this concentrated time, through the deliberate efforts of people partnering together in one place with a group of young people in terms of the investment that's going to have, not only in the immediate future, but years and years from now. It's a powerful thing when our generosity is harnessed together as a congregation. Because we each need to do our part. We all have something to give. And as you guys move into this new season with Rich and Carolyn, let me tell you, they are counting on you. God is counting on you to be generous. Secondly, be flexible. We're going to skip down to verse 5 and read a few verses about being flexible in our lives. Paul says, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits, but I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Well, first of all, let me just state, I love this about the Apostle Paul. I hope this is true of us as well. Do you hear what he says there at the end in verse 9? A great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. It's like for Paul, it ought to be for us, the bigger the challenge, we see that as the better the opportunity, the more potential that there might be. Now let's take a couple of moments to just think about what he says about flexibility here. I want you to notice two things about how intentional Paul was about his travel schedule, his ministry priorities. He made plans. In fact, he laid out for the church in Corinth what he anticipated would be his plans. But He also remembered that God has a plan that always supersedes our own. When I think about that principle, I'm reminded of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails, and that's always a good thing. My guess is, as the future unfolds here for Kingsway Christian Church, I know that there are plans, there are hopes, there's dreams, but those always need to be tempered by the realization that God may very well have a different plan, slightly different, significantly different. We do not know what lies just beyond us, over the horizon. So we do well to be generous, and we do well to be flexible as well. One of my favorite personal examples of what it means to be flexible. You see, I am not flexible. I am not a flexible person. At my core, I am something of a control freak, if you really want to know the truth. And so God, over the course of my 62 years, has been just kind of slowly chipping away at the control. Well, the freak part is still pretty strong, but the control part anyway. I remember when our son Mark, who is the leader of Jacob's Well, the community development nonprofit that we're a part of, you've heard me talk just a little bit about it, in Lincoln and in Haiti. Our son Mark founded this about 10 years ago. I remember when he was in high school, he sensed God was calling him to the ministry. And I couldn't help. I couldn't help myself. One of the things that I thought would be awesome would be, wouldn't it be great, God, if Mark and I could be like in ministry together, father and son in ministry together. Just thought that was a wonderful possibility as I talked to the Lord about it. And of course, in my mind, I envisioned that, of course, being the father and older and wiser, I would be like the leader. And he would be the eager and willing helper. But if you get acquainted with Jacob's Well, you'll find out that it's just the opposite. That Mark is the leader and his dad is the helper. And if you really had an opportunity to get to know Mark and really get to know me on a personal level over the course of time, you'd find out that that arrangement is infinitely better than what I had in my mind all those years ago. It's very clear that God knows how people are wired, how we're put together, how, you know, the passions, the gifts, all those things, and he knows how they ought to best be employed. And we would do well, yes, to make our plans, but to always submit our plans to his greater plan that he has for our lives. We need to be generous. We need to be flexible. Thirdly, I want to urge you to be kind. I want to urge you to be kind. By the way, I was going to mention this at the beginning. I forgot to do that, so I'll mention it now while I'm thinking about it. This is our graduate, our Sunday to recognize our graduates, high school and college. By the way, when we're thinking about endings and new beginnings, these principles apply to those seasons in life as well. God is calling us wherever we are along the spectrum of life, to be generous, to be flexible, and here to be kind. Verses 10 and 11, when Timothy comes, Paul says, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now, from what we know of Paul's protege, Timothy, he was a young man who struggled with confidence. To be sure, he seems to have been more than a little timid. Now, this is not the worst personality or character flaw for a person to have, but here's the thing. A lack of confidence, being timid, can get in the way of what God wants to do in our lives and through our lives. And Paul was concerned about that. So he gives instructions to the Corinthians about being kind to this young man as he's developing his confidence. You know, we would do well to do the same thing in our relationships with everybody in the church. Because you see, we all have personality quirks. We all have shortcomings in our character. Not a one of us in this room is perfect. Some of us have had some rather negative life experiences that have left profound wounds that are still in the process of God's healing. And that is why we would do well, as we interact with one another as fellow immortals, to extend kindness to one another. This is especially true of those folks who may come across like human porcupines. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't, I may need to explain it to you afterwards. So I'm talking about people who, it's just really hard to get close to them without them feeling kind of prickly as we get close. I'm sure you've heard the old adage, hurting people hurt people, and that is so true. It's true everywhere in the world, and it is true in the church. In fact, in this season of my life, when I encounter someone who is rather sharp or cutting in their comments, negative in their attitudes, maybe even physically threatening in their body language, I try to consciously remind myself that this person has probably been traumatized in some way and is in need of God's healing. So what I'm trying to do is, instead of like lashing back at them on social media or in person, I think we would do well, especially in the church, to be a community where we listen to such people. We seek to understand such people and value such people and kindly and gently show them that there is a better way to deal with our hurts than to communicate and to respond to people the way they might be currently. In other words, to be kind to one another, to be generous, to be flexible, to be kind. And lastly, to be respectful. Verses 15 through 18. Paul says, "You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they refresh my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition." Here Paul is giving us insight into the kind of attitude that should be present in every congregation so that ministry can take place both within the church family as well as outside our church family in the world in which God has called us. In a word, what Paul is calling for is mutual respect. Respect. Now, I don't think that Paul was only speaking of leaders like pastors when he wrote these words, but I do think they apply to those who we recognize as leaders among us in a local congregation. We should respect our leaders. They have devoted themselves to the serving of God's people. Therefore, we should submit to their leadership so that their ministry can be a joy and a blessing to others as well as to themselves. Notice that Paul talks about submission, about respect. Here's the thing, in a church of any size, and really in an organization of any size, any kind of human organization, you know, the more people we add, the less likely it is that we are going to always get our way, that we're going to like every decision that is made. You know, I recognize that as Rich and Carolyn begin here, that you know, the first few weeks, maybe months, who knows, maybe even a few years, people will feel united together, loving toward one another. But my guess is, and I make this guess because I think this is just inevitable in human relationships, it may be a few weeks from now, it may be a few months from now, it may be a few years from now, but there's going to be a difficult situation. There may be some feelings that are hurt, some wrongs that have been suffered, and the leaders of the church will need to address it, and it just may very well be that the way they handle it does not set well with everyone. You know, having been a pastor for 40 years, I can tell you that it is impossible to get everyone on the same page, even once in a while, let alone all the time. And so this maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace requires these four things that we've been talking about today. Being generous. To give more than we expect back. To be flexible. Yes, to make our plans, but to realize that God can quickly change those plans and it is okay. Because His plan is always better than our plan. To be kind to those around us. As a church, if the church of Jesus is doing what it's supposed to do, then there are going to be people who are going to find their way into the life of this congregation who are in need of hope and healing in Jesus' name. And I can't think of a better congregation for that to happen, but I want you to know that the more challenging their life circumstances, the higher the degree of difficulty it will be to minister with them and to them full of grace and peace. But that is exactly what God is calling you to do. It is exactly what He has equipped and prepared you to do. And I'm thoroughly convinced, this is one of the reasons why I'm so excited about the Millikens. I think their life experience and where they are in life, spiritually and in terms of their ministry experience, I just think, feel like, I don't know that there's a perfect fit, but I think they are a wonderful fit to join the team, to lead as a part of the team, this congregation into a grand and glorious future for Kingsway Christian Church. And now, we come to the end of our time together. I want you to know that these past few months have been wonderful for us. I now know, the last couple of Sundays, that you can actually make the drive from my house to Kingsway's property in about 45 minutes. You know, in January, it was more like an hour and a half, so it's been great this season, even through the bad weather. Sundays to see you faithfully here and the elders and the staff working hard, not knowing what the future for sure was going to be bringing. I just want you to know that Marcia and I have developed a great affection for this congregation, which means we love you and we will pray for you. We want God's best for you. And beyond today, none of us really knows what the future is going to hold in store for us. I mean, yes, I filled up a few of my Sundays between now and the end of the summer, but the only one who really knows what's ahead for Marcia and me, or for any of us, or for Kingsway, is God Himself. But what a glorious thing it is to be reminded of this, that the future, our future, is in His wonderful hands. And he's inviting us in the time that we have left in this world to be generous, to be flexible, to be kind, to be respectful, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing an invitation song right now. I need thee every hour.